Good evening. Welcome to today's meeting. We'd like to acknowledge that we're joining you today from the territories of the Okanagan Nation. We're grateful for their stewardship of these lands. My name is Nithya Iyer. I'm a judge of the BC Supreme Court and the chair of the Electoral Boundaries Commission. I'd like to introduce my fellow commissioners. On my left is Linda Tynan, Commissioner and Local Government Advisor. And on my right is Anton Vogtmann, Commissioner and Chief Electoral Officer of BC. I'd like to tell you a little bit about who we are and what we do. We are an independent and nonpartisan commission created by the Electoral Boundaries Commission Act. The Act requires commissions like ours to be created after every second general provincial election. Our job is to review the area, boundaries, and names of electoral districts in British Columbia, and having done that, to make recommendations for change. The way that we've chosen to do that is to have a two-stage process. First, we are touring around the province asking residents of BC for their views on this topic. That's the purpose of today's meeting. After this initial round of public consultations, we will publish a preliminary report with our initial recommendations, and we hope to be able to do that by early fall of this year. We'll then have a second round of public meetings asking BC residents again for their input on the changes that we've proposed. Following that, we'll write our final report and recommendations, which will also be public, and that must be submitted to the Legislative Assembly by April 2023. Ultimately, it's the legislature that decides whether to accept some, all, or none of our recommendations. Now, the factors that we have to consider in making recommendations are also set out in the Electoral Boundaries Commission Act. The Act says that our governing principle is representation by population. It sets out factors that we have to consider. They are geographic factors, such as accessibility and size, demographic factors, such as population numbers, rate of growth in the past, and projections for the future, and communities of interest. We also consider means of communication and transportation within electoral districts. The Act says that we have to try to ensure that each electoral district is within 25% of the average population of an electoral district. But it says that we can exceed that range if we consider that doing so is necessary to achieve effective representation. Right now, the average number of people in an electoral district is about 57,000. There are 87 electoral districts in BC right now, and the Act allows us to recommend up to 6 additional seats, which would bring the total number of electoral districts and therefore MLAs to 93. If you want to make a presentation at today's meeting and have not already done so, please see Chad at the registration table. He's taking down names so that I know the order in which to call people up. If you don't want to make a presentation or haven't signed up but change your mind and decide you do during the course of the presentations, feel free to sign up. I'd like you to know that we're audio recording all of our public meetings and we'll be making them available on our website at www.bcebc.ca. If you make a presentation, your name and community will be listed along with the recording. We have a privacy policy on our website if you'd like to look at it for more details. In the interest of consistency, we're asking every presenter to limit their presentation to about 10 minutes. That ensures that as we travel through the province, there's some level of equality in terms of the amount of speaking time that everybody gets. When we've heard from all of the presenters, I will close the formal portion of the meeting, but we won't be leaving immediately, so if you want to take the opportunity to have a an informal chat or ask some questions with any one of us, please feel free to do so. I'll now begin calling on our presenters. Our first presenter is Andrew Powell.
Good evening, and thanks for your time. I'll try to be relatively short. I'm not much of a presenter. I get terrible nerves. But the main thing I wanted to speak to was the community of Rutland. It's a part of the city of Kelowna. It's probably the largest sub-community of Kelowna outside of the city of Kelowna itself, like the old proper city of Kelowna. But it's not so large that it needs to be divided between multiple districts if we were to have four districts, or even if we had three districts. It's currently divided at Highway 33, and this somewhat unjust delineation is particularly ridiculous when you get up to Black Mountain, a small community of 5,000 people that I asked the previous commission to at least jog around one way or the other. Like, there's no, it's just a, sorry. Anyway, Rutland had its own town council until the 70s. It's the most distinctive part of this community as far as like having its own separate identity from the city of Kelowna. Just losing my train of thought completely. I have like a small book in my bookshelf called A History of Rutland from 1858 to 1958. It's just to say that Rutland is distinct from Kelowna, and it has its own community identity and something that I would like to see considered in future delimitation. I will write, I'm much better on paper than I am verbally, and I will write to you a document that I will submit on your website, and I will include multiple maps in which different ways which you can consider divvying up the four ridings, presumably four ridings that will be in the Central Okanagan Regional District. And I can also write you maps for 3 and 5 or whatever it is, and you guys can consider them at your leisure. Otherwise, what I wanted to ask you about was questions more so than actually discussing your particular mandate regarding other issues that perhaps the commission perhaps should be considering when they do their work. So the last time a commission in British Columbia was tasked with determining the number of districts there should be in the first place was the Fisher Commission back in 88. And you can read his report from December 1988, the final report of that commission, in which the second paragraph he summarizes how he came to his conclusion that we should have 75 districts. And it was effectively that he toured a few legislatures, had a meeting with the provincial legislature here in BC, and then decided that 75 seemed about right. And there wasn't any sort of justification in the document, and there's no... And to this day, districts have just been added on an ad hoc fashion of 6 or so, or in rare cases, 0 or 2 seats, whatever it is, since. But I think that that's an important question that has a strong bearing upon what the nature of representation will look like in the province, just how many districts we have. When you look around the world, places like Scotland, the devolved legislature of Scotland, which has a similar population to us, they have 129 representatives in the legislature. You look at New Zealand as a national legislature, they have 120 representatives. The state of Chiapas in southern Mexico on the border with Guatemala has 40 representatives in their state congress. U.S. states of a similar size, with South Carolina, Alabama, have 140 and 105 state representatives, and they're bicameral, so they even have state senators on top of that in another house. I'm just saying that it's very varied all over the place, and I just would like to know how it is that, or have a justification for why 93 or why we don't do what Ontario does, where their provincial and federal boundaries are the same. Why is it that 42 boundaries isn't the appropriate number of boundaries for British Columbia, and then we just draw the boundaries as they do federally for this province? Another question that I think should be considered by commissions is the composition of the commission itself. Like here we have three persons that are effectively appointed by the premier, and which is not necessarily problematic, but like you all, like the chief electoral officers, the government has the most say in who gets to be in that position, and you're appointed by the governor and council, which is effectively the premier, and you have to be a justice, but still once again effectively selected by the premier's office, which isn't necessarily problematic. That doesn't mean that you're not independent. It's just to say that there are different ways of doing it. Alberta has two members of the government and two like actual MLAs, two members of the government and two members of the opposition, and I believe a justice as the fifth commissioner in their five-member commission. And there's different again in Quebec, where I believe it's five justices. I just think that maybe there should be more discussion on best practices in the presentation, in what you do. And then the last matter is deviation, wherein Canada has allowed via the Saskatchewan reference case in 91 deviations up to 25%. But that's pretty atypical on a global scale. Like we are some of the, that's as high as you'll find anywhere that has decided, like has a set rule for how high they're able to go. 25 is the highest you'll find, and we're in pretty sparse company. Like three nations allow for 25% deviations. The U.S. is effectively zero in their, by their court determinations over time, right? Kansas, like Canada, U.S., sorry, us, New Zealand, between the other major members of the Commonwealth, so New Zealand, UK, and Australia. New Zealand and UK are both 5%. Australia is 10%. But with the added thing, and I think this is probably the ideal, that at the end of the term of those districts, they need to be within 3.5%. So it's 10% with the growth considered in, so that when those districts expire in 8 years or after two election cycles, whatever it is, they have to be within 3.5%. So I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of ways that it can be done, and like Germany's 15, but like 15 is kind of like the high for most places in the world. It's really unusual, and it is within your ability to decide that you will only allow deviations up to 10% or 5%, or to bring yourselves into an international norm of what districting is. Saskatchewan, where the Saskatchewan reference case came from, hasn't gone past 5% except for those two northern districts that were settled in that case since. Like they were scared straight. And it's a funny that where it was determined that they could go that wild, that's one of the provinces where they had the least deviation in the whole country. So just something that things that I, other issues I think should be considered holistically, in that are probably determinations to be best made by an independent body such as yourselves rather than the provincial legislature, and something that maybe you should ask that future commissions are empowered to make decisions on that matter. So otherwise, as far as the local delineations and then the value of Rutland as a community, I will write you ad nauseum, and I thank you for your time. Do you have any questions?
I don't think we do at this time, but thank you very much for your presentation.
Yes.
You've raised an issue about Rutland and some more general issues that we will consider.
Thank you very much.
If I may, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Just a point of clarification.
Sorry.
The Chief Electoral Officer is not appointed by the Premier, but rather
on
unanimous recommendation of an all-party committee of the legislature, which recommendation is brought to the legislature for a vote.
Yes. Thank you, sir.
Our next speaker is Gord Milson. Oh, sorry, the name is Gord Milson. Have I got that correct, sir?
You got that right, yeah, thank you. Yeah, Gord Milson's my name, and I'm the mayor of the city of West Kelowna. So I'm here representing the Council of the City of West Kelowna. So I'd like to thank the Commission very much for the opportunity to present to you this afternoon, and thank you very much for the good work that you're doing on behalf of all of the citizens of British Columbia. You're aware that the Kelowna CMA electoral districts, the population for Kelowna Lake Country, 75,047, and Kelowna Mission, 67,994, and Kelowna West, which City of West Kelowna is part of that electoral district, 73,035. So we're well above the average, the amount that you provided earlier on of 57,481. So, based on the current population and based on some of the projections, which I'll get into a little bit later on, City of West Kelowna Council believes that there's certainly a need for a fourth electoral district to ensure that our residents and business owners and other key stakeholders within our communities are effectively served by their MLAs. The Kelowna Census metropolitan area is the fastest CMA in Canada. According to Stats Canada, the 2021 population estimates in our region's growth between 2016 and 2021 was 14%, which was basically the highest in Canada and the highest in British Columbia. Of course, BC's rate, as you know, is 7.6%, and Canada's 5.2%. Now, the city of West Kelowna also believes that there is a strong case for a revision of the current boundaries of the Kelowna West Electoral District to include only the areas west of Okanagan Lake, which can act as a natural boundary in itself, and to no longer include the existing portion of downtown Kelowna. The greater West Side communities are growing at an even faster pace, slightly higher than the Kelowna CMA, which is 14%. You know, according to Stats Canada, the estimates for 2021, the population for the city of West Kelowna, West Bank First Nations, IR 9 and 10, and the electoral areas of the areas west for the regional district within Kelowna West, our population totals 49,875. The population total in 2016 was 43,674, therefore an increase of 6,201, which is slightly higher than the 14%. It's 14.2%. So we're having significant growth on the Greater West Side. And I just wanted to mention as well, you know, I follow the Stats Canada figures and the BC Stats figures. And I just wanted to bring to the commission's attention that while Stats Canada shows a population number for West Kelowna at 36,078, BC Stats shows the number at 38,311, and I believe that's based on total dwellings. And that was a 4% increase between 2020 and 2021, as far as BC Stats is concerned. I tend to think we're closer to that number at 38,311 versus the 36,000 number that Stats Canada has. So quite an increase. You know, we are a young municipality. We were incorporated in December 6 of 2007. And at that time, we had about 28,000. That was one number that I failed to confirm prior to coming this afternoon. But so we've had about a 10,000 increase in our population just since the December 6 of 2007. But we are a vibrant, dynamic community, and we're growing at a fast pace. And we expect our growth to continue to increase at a rapid level. And right now, the city of West Kelowna, we're going through an update of our official community plan. And as part of that, the draft official community plan, we're planning for future development to accommodate approximately 18,000 new residents between now and 2040. If we use the 1.6% increase per annum between now and 2040, it would be about a 12,000 increase. But we're growing much at a faster, higher rate than that. So we thought that planning for 18,000 would be prudent. It allows us to, you know, we don't know whether the growth is going to come in at between 12 and 24,000, so we took the middle road. The last thing we want to do is plan to not have enough accommodation for the folks that are moving to our community. So that's what's in our draft plan now. So population, we're growing quick, and we don't see it stopping because it's really a place to be within British Columbia, the city of West Kelowna. I also want to just mention, too, that the Greater West Side, we kind of refer to West Bank First Nations, city of West Kelowna, the electorate area, as the Greater West Side, and that we face some unique challenges that require our MLA's full attention. You know, we do have excellent relationships with our good neighbors, West Bank First Nations, and again, they're also growing at a rapid pace. Our communities are side by side, in some situations, right across the street from each other. As a result, we have some unique intergovernmental relations and many shared community needs. And some of the community needs which we advocate for on a provincial base level, and which are very specific to the Greater West Side, include issues. And I just wanted to share some of the issues with you, because we really do need to have, again, that full attention of our representative the representative our MLA that represents us in Victoria. We need, there's a need for redundant power supply. We have one power supply to the Greater West Side, and it's critical we have another. We've been working with the province and BC Hydro really since incorporation to make that happen. Improvements to Highway 97, not only interchanges, but the couplet. Policing services, we have an integrated police detachment that serves West Kelowna, the city of West Kelowna, West Bank First Nations, and also the Lectura areas. So that's aside from Kelowna, so it's separate. Wildfire protection is a huge need that we have a shared need on the west side, and of course social housing. And there's many other areas that we believe that the attention of a dedicated MLA is important to serve the needs of the Greater West Side. So there's some of our initial comments, and I'm sure we'll participate in this process going forward. But I really wanted to thank you again for giving us the opportunity to present. Thank you for being here, and thank you very much for listening to what I had to present. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye for now.
Our next speaker is Kelly Hutchinson.
Good evening, Commission. Can you hear me okay? Okay. Thanks for the opportunity to speak with you today. I'll just be breaking into my presentation just into two parts. One, I'm going to talk more globally about my opinions about the Commission and the work that they do. And the second, I'm hoping to provide you some local context on our ridings here and some of the things I'd like to see out of my Commission. So on a high level, I believe the most important guiding principle in the electoral boundaries process is representation by population. Loosely speaking, you know, more citizens in a region, we should have the more representatives in our legislature. As most people are aware, the Okanagan is one of the fastest growing regions in the province. Here in the population increased the largest cities in the region. Kelowna's population increased by 14% since 2016. Vernon's 11% and Penticton's about 9%. And our region's not alone. I mean, the greater Vancouver area and Vancouver Island have experienced the same significant growth and should be strongly considered as part of this process too. But at the moment, even with before this growth, this part of the province is grossly underrepresented in our provincial legislatures from previous commissions that protected rural and northern constituencies for different reasons, good or otherwise, just it's part of the history of the commissions. And under the rules of the Act, right, that say that you're permitted a 25% deviation. And riding size is allowed. So, and then, you know, there's several others that are at that line and several that exceeded the line for extenuating circumstances. And, you know, I'll spare you my life story. I've spent an inordinate amount of time doing electoral studies and looking at globally context and comparing different regions. And, you know, 25%, as we heard from a previous speaker, it's extremely wide. It's extremely wide. Like, you got a lot of Western democracies that don't dare breach 5% or 10%. You know, if you look at the lists that actually exceed 20 or 25 even, you quickly find we're in the company of democracies that are wobbly. And most Canadian citizens might be concerned being in the same list as them. So, you know, I think that as time proceeds, there were reasons for having these large gaps. You know, mostly the case was about effective representation, as you mentioned in the beginning. And, you know, so I guess what I fail to see is how we can have 10 ridings that are exceeding 25% at this time, 10 out of the 87, roughly 12% that are exceeding that limit, And it's supposed to be exceptional circumstances. If I would have thought, I would have thought that would have been maybe 1% of the ridings, maybe a couple here or there. But 10 is just not fair representation because it distorts the values of votes across the province. And I say this recognizing all that the previous two electoral boundaries commissions were required to adhere to provincial legislation that protected a number of rural and northern constituencies. The current commission's under no such restrictions, as my knowledge is, I hope that's accurate. And I urge you maybe take that opportunity to potentially correct this inequity or chip it away in a way by providing some of these urban districts that are growing with additional seats. And as I mentioned, the primary reason was this, was that you could have effective representation. It was difficult to imagine a riding that went from the border of Alberta to the ocean and imagine how a single person could service that all, right? Because you have to have face-to-face interactions and meetings and town halls and such. I think, you know, over the last 2 years of the pandemic, we've learned that connectivity is a lot easier than you can jump on Zoom calls, team calls. It's not unimaginable to service a large area nowadays. And the province is making significant investments in connectivity. So I think that really reduces the need to push to that 25% that you can, you have the authority to if you want. But I think that the world is changing, and we need to make sure that we're keeping votes equal amount of weights. Because right now, currently, I place my vote in Kelowna, it's worth approximately half if I place than if I place it in Fort St. John, right? Because, you know, I don't have the exact numbers, but my riding is 56,000 or something around there, and up there in Peace River North, I believe, it's 32,000. So it's an extreme difference in the actual power of my vote. So in closing, I just think that representation by population, the lane is open to really push that, move the needle on that, given the changes we've seen in connectivity and how we can get things done. Now, let's use the remaining time to talk about the local boundaries. I think if you talk to everyday people, there's maybe three topics that really come up. Peculiarities, I guess, if you will. The first one is this large portion of our downtown core. It's incorporated across the geographical lake into Kelowna West, as we heard from our previous speaker. Communities that are entirely different. They have different councils and different OCPs and different priorities and issues. And they do need the attention of an individual. Then the second, I think, is that the Rutland community and all of Black Mountain is completely chopped down the middle on this line that, for better purposes, was just picked because it's a highway. It's because it's a natural, what looks geographically appealing to break it up. But if you just consider, like Rutland, you have 40,000, 50,000 plus, that had its own city council one time. It's completely divided by this. But in doing so, you're actually breaking apart school catchments. And I think, as you know, one of the core tenets or way to maybe if you had to start this process right from scratch is to start with the school districts. Because one of the core tenets is if our kids go to school together, then our lives are aligned in a way. We have the similar priorities, our neighborhoods are the same, and it just shouldn't be that different sets of parents have different MLAs if they're going to the same schools. So it's a good place to start is look at the school catchments. And you look at Rutland, dozens are broken up. You got Rutland Elementary, RMS, RSS, Quigley, Belgo, Okanagan Christian School, South Rutland Elementary. It's completely broken, different catchments. So that's definitely an issue that is on people's minds. And then the third is that Glenmore is a part of Lake Country for the similar reasons as the Kelowna, part of West Kelowna sort of thing. They're different municipalities. It was a time where Glenmore was very agricultural. It looked very similar to Lake Country, and they had a lot of the same priorities. Nowadays, our urban growth boundary has pushed farther Glenmore out, and Glenmore looks very urbanized now and is growing such. It's because it's just not farmland anymore. So those are the three issues that I think are top of mind. And there's ways to fix these things. I mean, same as any inefficiencies in the borders is you just add more borders and add more seats and make it perfect. So six is permitted, we'll take all six sort of thing. But, obviously we're not going to get all six. But I think if you were going to add one or two, I'd like to maybe share how I would prioritize it. I think number one would be Rutland being divided. Bar none, Rutland's completely a contiguous community. And Highway 33 borders literally don't mean anything to Rutlanders. They cross the border every single day at either side of the highway, work, school, whichever. It doesn't really matter. The constituency offices have been on one side one time, it was on the other. And this is a 7-kilometer stretch. It goes through Black Mountain as well, too. And so it's two communities, and a whole bunch of school districts have broken apart. And it just affects a lot of people, because a lot of people live there. Number two, I think, is the downtown being part of West Kelowna. Rather than maybe like a cracking issue, it was kind of a packing issue. You're moving them into West Kelowna where they don't have similar characteristics to justify it. But the only reason I would take that as second priority is because it's just not the same number of people. It's not the it's just same issue, basically, but it's not the same number of people affected as it is in Rutland. And then the third priority I'd put is Glenmore Lake Country. And that's my home riding. And in fact, I don't mind having an MLA from Lake Country or servicing that as well, too, because we have similar issues. One of the big ones is Glenmore Road is becoming like a secondary highway. There's a lot of investments and discussions about expansion and which municipality is going to do which and for how much and all that kind of stuff. And it's good to just have the same person on eyes in both camps on that sort of a thing. And because so as much as we're not both farmlands anymore, same irrigation districts, same issues are coming up, and it's not a lot of people affected in that either as much if you compare it to the grandiose Rutland and Black Mountain divide, which I believe is significant. So basically that's it. I think give us more seats as our population warrants it, and it can be permitted without sacrificing representation up north, which is important. I would prioritize it. Rutland, downtown West Kelowna, and then Glenmore Lake Country. And thank you, Commission, for your time and hearing my thoughts.
Thank you very much. Our next presenter is Davis Kyle.
Thank you very much for taking the time to have these discussions. I think it's vitally important for our city that we receive the proper representation. Of course, I believe with many others in the room that having a fourth riding is appropriate for Kelowna and West Kelowna. I would first like to begin my discussion by talking about what I feel are some of the shortcomings in the current maps as distributed. Fundamentally, I believe that it's most important to recognize that land doesn't vote, that people do. In an era of increasing connectivity between regions through telecommunications, through other means, you know, highway improvements, etc., it's becoming less and less important to protect rural ridings in the sense of making them have a smaller amount of population just to shrink down the area. In my opinion, I feel nowadays that more of a 5 or 10% threshold is possible to do through this commission because the connectivity is more important and because, quite frankly, like I said, land doesn't vote, people do. So ensuring that my vote is not less important if I lived in Vancouver compared to Fort St. John is important. I think that the needs of urban Canadians are not necessarily less important just because there are more of them. That everyone's voice matters, and I think that somehow elevating the voices of rural communities can lead to distortive effects on our democracy. I would also like to talk a little bit about local boundary divisions here in Kelowna. Like other speakers, I feel that it would be inappropriate to divide Rutland into two electoral districts going forward. It's important to understand both Highway 33 and Highway 97 as oversized roads that grew over time. Highway 97 was originally called Eli Avenue, close to the lake, and Harvey Avenue, further away from the lake, later combined as Harvey Avenue, later recognized as Highway 97. So this was a gradual evolution over time from a 2-lane road to a 4-lane road to a 6-lane road. The same kind of evolution happened in Rutland. These highways were not bulldozed through separating communities. This was a gradual widening over time, and the communities remain connected on each side. So using that Highway 33 or Highway 97 as a natural border simply would not be accurate, because the communities are still connected. I believe that it is currently possible under the current population circumstances in Kelowna to make ridings that respect all these different communities by keeping Black Mountain intact and connected with the major arterial roads that feed it into Kelowna, by keeping Rutland intact and making sure that it stays as a well-represented community for the first time in almost generations. I think keeping Kelowna intact, that is the historic downtown, keeping the Pandozi Mission intact, these are all important steps for the commission to take. I'm not opposed, along with some presentations earlier in the day, I believe the first set of presentations, to renaming ridings. I think that Kelowna West is a reasonable name. I think that Kelowna North is a reasonable name. Kelowna South, Kelowna Center, leaves open the possibility of an independent Rutland someday being a Kelowna East as it continues to gain population. I'm also not opposed to Big White becoming part of the electoral districts, just on the basis that it is relatively connected with our community. Many, many people from Kelowna regularly visit Big White in the winter, of course, and many ski businesses, etc., or biking businesses that are in Kelowna have close ties with Big White because that's the major attractions. Just bear with me here. I believe that covers the major points, but I would like to highlight that I think that a representation by population with a 5% maximum deviation is possible, and that it is moral to treat all people in the province more or less the same in terms of the power of their votes. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your presentation. That's the last speaker that I have on my list. Is there anybody else who would like to make a presentation? Seeing none, I'm going to close the formal part of the meeting, thanking you for your input today. I'll remind you that the audio recording of the meeting will be available on our website next week. For those of you that made presentations, it would be fantastic if you could submit your presentation to us through the website so that we have an electronic copy of it as well. We take notes, but we don't get everything down, especially when people are talking a little bit quickly or there are numbers involved. That's hard to take notes of, so if you can send it in to us, that would be very much appreciated. If you know of other people who would like to share their input but haven't had the time or opportunity to attend an in-person meeting, there's two ways to do that. First, you could make a submission through our website. The second is that we're having a virtual public meeting on Monday, April 11th at 5 p.m. You can register on the website to participate or just to hear what other people have to say. And so I encourage you to pass that information on to people you know so that we can have the benefit of their input as well. So and one other thing, with respect to the suggestions about where electoral boundaries should actually be drawn, we are going to have up on our website, it isn't ready quite yet, but I'm told it's in testing, a tool where you can draw electoral boundaries and see the impact of changing the lines. I think that will be an incredibly interesting exercise, and I'm hoping a lot of people will take advantage of it. So with that, thank you very much, and have a good evening.